Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogart Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Wendell Fikes, and we hope you will stay tuned to Q99.7, and let's study the Scriptures together. Today's lesson is entitled, Obedience. Abraham is identified as a man of faith in the Scriptures. Abraham's name, his faith, and his obedience to God is mentioned by the inspired writers of both the Old Testament and New Testament, from Genesis through the book of James. 17 of the 66 books in the Bible mention Abraham's faith, his obedience, and some of his activities. Observe these actions of Abraham's obedience. God called Abraham, and he went. The Lord said to Abram, called Abram at that time, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Note it. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. God called, Abraham went as God had commanded. Number 2, God promised Abraham and Sarah a son in their old age. God told Abraham when he was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old that they would have a son. Genesis chapter 17, verse 17, and chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Paul refers to God's promise to Abraham in the book of Romans in chapter 4 and verse 20. Hear what he said. "Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God." Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. Abraham did not waver. The King James says he did not stagger. He did not weave. He did not sway unsteadily. He did not reel or totter or tremble at God's promise. Abraham believed and trusted God without asking questions or trying to negotiate the instruction. Number 3, the Scriptures say it came to pass that God tested Abraham and said, "Take your son, Isaac, go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering." Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men, and Isaac, the wood for the burnt offering, and then on the third day, Abraham saw afar off the place God had told him. And Abraham told his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you again." Notice what Abraham told these men, knowing full well that he was going to kill his son. Yet he said, "The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand, a knife, and the two of them went together. Along the way, Isaac said to Abraham, "My father?" And Abraham said, "Here am I, my son. Look, the fire, the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." They came to the place which the Lord had told Abraham. Abraham built an altar, placed the wood in order. He bound Isaac his son and laid him on that altar, on the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took his knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called and said to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad, or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham lifted up his eyes, looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of Isaac. God tested Abraham, and Abraham demonstrated obedience and his complete faith and trust in God. How do we know that his faith and trust in God was complete? Because he did what God told him to do: kill and offer his son, the promised son, as a sacrifice to God. What an example of obedience. And yet, it's difficult to persuade some people to simply be baptized in obedience to the commandment of Jesus. God renews his promise to Abraham because of his obedience. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. A little later on, God renewed that promise again to Abraham and said, "I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Genesis chapter 24 and verse 6. "Because, Abraham, you have obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Genesis chapter 26 and verse 5. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 and 9. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. Why was this man Abraham selected by God? Why was Abraham given such prominent acclaim in the Scriptures? Why was Abraham portrayed as a model and an example of righteousness? Each question can be answered by one sentence. When God commanded, Abraham obeyed. Abraham's name became synonymous with faith and obedience throughout the Scriptures. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. The scripture was fulfilled, James writes, which says, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God." James chapter 2 and verse 23. God called Abraham he obeyed and went. God promised Abraham and Sarah a son in their old age. Abraham believed and received Isaac when he was 100 years old, and his wife Sarah was 90 years old. God tested Abraham. Abraham demonstrated his complete faith, trust, and obedience in God, and without hesitation offered Isaac, his son, as a burnt sacrifice. God renews his promise to Abraham. Why? Because he said, "You have obeyed my voice. You have kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Since we are to be Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise of God, Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3, we must believe and obey at God's every call, without waver, without hesitation, in faith, trust, obedience, and confidence in God that He will bless us when we obey Him as Abraham did. Now open your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans is the 6th book of the New Testament, and turn to chapter 6, beginning in verse 16 through 18. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 and 18. The Apostle Paul declares that you are a slave or a servant to whatever you consistently obey. The English verb obey is defined as to follow the commands or guidance of, to conform to, or comply with. The English noun obedience is an act or instance of obeying, Webster Online. The biblical definition of obey is to comply with, to submit to, conform to a command or an authority, strong, or to submit to is used of obedience to God, Vine, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, and chapter 11 and verse 8. From the beginning, God created man and woman with the power of volition, that is, having the power of choice or determination. They can choose whether they want to obey or disobey God. God told Adam and Eve that they could eat of the fruit of all the trees of the garden in the Garden of Eden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he told them, in the day you eat of that fruit, you will die. Adam and Eve had the choice to eat of the forbidden fruit or not to eat of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. They exercised that right to choose. They chose to eat the forbidden fruit. They disobeyed God and were driven from the Garden of Paradise, Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3. No man or woman has ever been born a sinner. Humanity is not tainted with Adam's sin as most religious teachers and most of the religious world believe and teach. Sin is not in our DNA at birth. We can choose to obey. We can choose to disobey. Everyone who has reached the age of accountability can make his or her own decision. Observe these examples. Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. That is, he became the author of salvation to all who submit to him, who obey his commandments. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Abraham chose to obey when he was called to go out. He could have refused to follow the orders of God. But Abraham followed the command or the guidance of God. He left his homeland and his families. He traveled to where God directed, not knowing where he was going. So it is with you or me. If a person follows sin and constantly practices sin, the scriptures teach he or she is a slave of sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. A person is a slave to that one whom he or she chooses to obey, follow, and serve. Those who continue to serve, to obey, to follow, and to submit to sin until death will be lost in eternal hell. The Apostle Paul continues to reason by the same logic concerning those who will obey. If a person follows righteousness and constantly practices righteousness, the scriptures teach he or she is a slave of righteousness. Verse 16, part B. A person is a slave to that one whom he or she obeys, follows, and serves. Therefore, those who continue to serve, obey, follow, and submit to righteousness, that is, obedience to God, until death, will be saved in eternal heaven because they are righteous. Heaven, what a wonderful reason to obey God. In verses 17 and 18, Paul tells a person what he or she must do to become a servant of righteousness. Read it again. Thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. You obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching. You obeyed the form of teaching. You obeyed the things you were taught. You obeyed the standard of teaching. You obeyed the mold of teaching. What was the pattern or form of teaching the Romans were taught? What pattern of teaching had the Romans obeyed? Whatever that form of teaching the Romans had obeyed, their obedience to that teaching had set them free from sin and delivered them to righteousness. Verse 18. Having been made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness, because now they were obeying, they were following, and they were submitting to God's commandments and His directions. Paul had taught the Romans that the gospel was God's power to save earlier in the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 15. He said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. Verse 16, he continues, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to everyone who believes, for to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Earlier, Paul told them in chapter 6, the same people in the same book, do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. The Romans were taught the good news, the gospel, which was about the love of God for man. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Paul taught them that Christ shed his blood on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, the soldiers pierced his side, and the scriptures say, forthwith came blood and water. John 19 and verse 34. That blood is what Paul said, having now been justified by his blood, that shed blood on the cross, we shall be saved. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Paul taught them about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. How does the death, the burial, and the resurrection help us? It helps us because we are justified by the blood of Christ, Romans 5:9. We contacted the blood of Christ when we were buried with him through baptism into death, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and 4. And he concluded, "Thanks be to God that you were baptized, that you did obey that form of teaching, that you were once the slaves, but right now you have become obedient from the heart to that form and that pattern of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness." We can logically conclude from Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, these facts. A person cannot walk a new life unless he or she is raised. A person cannot be raised unless he or she is buried. A person cannot be buried until he or she is baptized, verse 4. Therefore, the sinner obeys the Lord's command to be buried into Christ's death in baptism, immersion in water, to enter into a new life in Christ. Baptism is the only way a person can enter Christ and become a new creature, a slave to righteousness. Every person who desires to become a new creature must be baptized. There are no new creatures who have not been baptized. Every person who desires to be in Christ must be baptized. Baptism delivers one from being outside the body of Christ to being in Christ, inside the body of Christ. Paul wrote, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. We conclude, from the beginning, men and women had a choice to obey or disobey God's instruction. In the biblical context, obey means to comply with God's rules, submit to God's instructions, conform to God's commands and His authority. Obedience always involves obeying God's voice, keeping God's charge, following God's commands, observing God's statutes, submitting to God's laws. To become a servant of righteousness in the Christian age, obedience is an absolute necessity. Those who obey the gospel can and will be saved if they live faithful. Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, Hebrews 5:9. What about those who will not obey the gospel? The scriptures say, "When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. My friends and ladies and gentlemen, it is a matter of life and death to obey or disobey God. If you're Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. Our obedience to Christ makes us of Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Your obedience and my obedience to the gospel of Christ is our only hope of being saved and going to heaven. Are you a slave to sin? Or are you a slave to righteousness? Each of you will ultimately make that choice. If you have a question or a comment about our lesson this morning, please contact us. We can be reached by phone at 373-5773 or by email to ed@churchofchristwasilla.com. A free CD of today's lesson is available on request. We ask you to mark your calendar with these dates and come and enjoy with your family our 2015 Vacation Bible School, July 20 through 24, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Ages 2 years through senior adults are welcome to classes. The theme, God's Word. Children's topics, Monday, how we got the Bible. Tuesday, the Bible is a treasure map. Wednesday, the Bible predicts the future. Thursday, God's commands help us. Friday, sharing God's Word with others. Teen and adult topics, on Monday, how the Bible came to us. Tuesday, the Bible is inspired. Wednesday, the Bible and prophecy. Thursday, the Bible and science. Friday, are there mistakes in the Bible? I'm Wendell Fikes. Thank you for listening. Until this same time next Sunday morning, we bid you a pleasant good day.
We hope that you've been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway to Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard, just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented or would like additional study material or a home Bible study, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com or contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.